Hare Krishna. Also in the name of Burijan Prabhu, we want to greet you affectionately for this last session of the Holy Name Retreat 2000 and what is it, 18 or 17, 17, 17. What we are hoping to do during this session is to assist all of you to identify or find and identify the practical jewels or the things which you have realized, the new insights, what struck you, what inspired you. Maybe also an area where you felt, oh, here I really lack a little. Here I really need to improve something. Both is good. It's not realizations are not only always bliss from one end, from one edge of the mouth to the ear, and from the other edge of the mouth to the other ear. That's an American concept of chewing gum happiness. It is not real. It does not correspond to the human experience. What is it that struck you? What did you notice? There must be something which moved you. Maybe during the 64 rounds day, when you almost gave up, and then all of a sudden something came from somewhere that you could continue with, even being a little moved inside. What is it where you felt something happened? And we look for something concrete. I give you an example. Maybe 7 years ago, one devotee from Persia had come with a very brand new recording device. I believe a Sony video camera, which had just come on the market. It had maybe 5 improvements over the previous model. And he was all the time busy recording the Govardhan retreat. Then one day, he innocently and unsuspectingly went with that new Sony video recorder out of this area, the Gopinath Gardens, and he wanted to take a left turn to go to the Balkrishna Bhavan to take his midday meal. So he went out, he came out, he wanted to go left, but then all of a sudden he saw a dark shadow with a red inside flying at him, and as he turned, he saw it was Mr. Monkey Man. It was a monkey, in other words. And he was so shocked that he lost his sense of directions, made the wrong step, and landed with the new Sony video recorder in the gutters. And it was full with the digestive end result of the bridge passes, and he fell right in there, and he was so shocked that he lost his Sony video recorder so on. And he came out, he looked not different than these four-legged, you know, we call them pigs, yes, all black and unshowered and so on. And he was for the first time in the and he had lost his investment, but he was for the first time in his life genuinely happy. Genuinely happy. Because he felt there was Giriraj's very clear way of showing him he must turn from seeing things with the external eyes and with the video recording, and he must learn to see things in a more, let me say, conscious way, a conscientious way, a more spiritual and devotional way. And he always tells me this as one of the highlights of not only his Govardhan retreat, but his whole life. So for us, it may sound like an accident, a sad accident. He never found the Sony video recorder, by the way, again. He even paid a sewage expert, you know, a man from here to calm through the sewage. No result. But he takes that with him as a lesson by Giriraj, and a life-changing lesson. So it may not be so dramatic what you have experienced, but I will request you now to turn and find yourself a partner, the man with the man and the Mataji with the... Of course, married couples can also be. And then share what is that thing which happened to you. It should be concrete, not very abstract. Oh, it was nice. Do you have anything else to say than this N-I-C-E word?
Interesting.
Yeah. Oh, it was interesting. And then a local shake of the head, which can mean good or bad, whatever. What was it? Something concrete, an incident, and what did you learn from this? I will go with Burijan Prabhu because I have something very private to share. Please, we don't have so much for this exercise, so much time. We have to be a little bit focused now to get through. After this, there will be questions and answers given by Burijan Prabhu and myself. Hare Krishna, we have 8 minutes. And please, everyone, take part in this. Don't think it is... it is necessary for what comes afterwards. So find yourself a partner and share generously what struck you, what was important for you, and what it meant for you. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much for participating. Once again, I want to say, if you have not said everything you wanted to say, please know your neighbor is only a sitting place at the prasadam row away from you, so you can continue then. We would like to now go into a question and answer session. I think Prashanta must have requested you to put your questions in writing in these baskets. They can, if there are still questions hanging in the air, they are not yet formulated, you have a possibility to write them in here. And Burijan Prabhu and myself will try really to answer the questions as succinct, means as brief but clear as possible. So let us start immediately, because after this, this stage will perform into the London Albert Hall, a theater place. With Albert Hall is maybe not theater, but you know, there will be a drama, as we say in our movement. It will be quite something. So we try to keep on time. May I request you, Burijan Prabhu, to pick the first question and then give your answer?
But what happens if it says, Dear Satchinandana Swami? Then you can fish another question, maybe.
Okay.
Give it to me.
Okay. We get really attracted to somebody after we at least see a person and communicate with him for some period of time. Is it possible to get attached to Krishna so much and chant with the feeling of separation without his darshan? Please accept my obeisances. And it's... but I couldn't quite read the name, but we'll keep that private anyway. And I know how Prabhupada answered that question many times at least. You want to see Krishna, which is what this is saying, and he would say, here he is. He would point to the deities very much. And the pastime of Rukmini Devi, when she fell in love with Krishna, it was just by hearing about him. So by serving the deity, by hearing about him, and by associating with those who are more advanced, more advanced meaning their relationship with him is more intimate than ours, then we can clearly move forward. But your question was, can you get so attached to Krishna and chant with the feeling of separation without his darshan? It would seem to me that it's obviously a gradual process, but also the fact that we are existentially, in our heart, there is always an existential emptiness, so to speak. We actually are missing Krishna, and we try to fill our hearts with so many other things other than Krishna, as if they will bring us the satisfaction that we long for. So we are actually missing Krishna, and if we could chant, praying for Krishna, and to be with him, to experience the deity more deeply, to experience the Bhagavatam, to be able to listen when someone more experienced, to be able to listen with an open heart when someone who is more experienced than we are in Krishna consciousness is speaking, and to pray to the deity, and to serve with as much devotion as we have, and go to Giriraj and just open your heart, and go to Krishna Balaram and open your heart and say, look at my condition, and just say what you wrote over here. I have no attachment to you. I need to meet you more deeply, on a more deeply level. And because of that, my chanting is weak. Only if you're merciful to me, then do I have any hope. So we transform that something that's negative into something that's very positive by honestly approaching the objects, the ashraya of mercy. Okay, that's
wonderful.
Deep topic, obviously.
But thank you for this wonderful question and your wonderful answer. Really, hope
it was okay.
Hope giving answer. Yes, yes.
Here is a question.
We hear that inattention in japa contains all the other offenses. How does this apply to extra chanting that we do while we perform other activities or services? As we attempt to engage ourselves in chanting as much as possible. Mm-hmm. The question is very clear that inattention is the root of all other offenses. That's in the Harinam Chintamani. Now, when we are engaged in services and activities and chant, we are almost bound to be inattentive because we are doing something and we are chanting somewhere. Before Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left Navadvip, he had one meeting with all the Navadvip Vasis. His devotees came to the meeting, and even those who in the past had derided him and laughed and criticized about him, were there. And somehow they were informed by the super soul in the heart to come for that last opportunity for darshan. And they all brought flower garlands, and Mahaprabhu, knowing well that he would leave that same night, his dear devotees and his dear dham, Navadvip dham, was full of deep emotions, and he garlanded them back. He distributed his garlands and gave them. And then he spoke an instruction which is very important. He said, day and night, without stopping, chant the holy name. That was his last instruction to everyone in Navadvip, day and night. And he knew, of course, some were farmers, some were merchants, some were, in other words, they would do other activities while chanting it. Normally the consciousness is not so focused in someone who does multitasking, who does many things at one stage. The attention is divided really between the various tasks. But still he said so, and he said this, because if you learn to do this, chant while you do other activities, you will see that your consciousness will go to Krishna as much as possible. It will go, and you will also, after some time, understand, I'm doing this really in Krishna consciousness or for Krishna. So it is a good recommendation of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and it is wise to follow. However, to come to that stage is not so simple. There is one statement, it is quoted in Hari Bhakti Vilas, which says, only in the mouth of someone who has served Lord Vasudev for many lives will the holy name dance constantly. In other words, try to chant while you do other activities, but you will see. It is a sadhana, it is a practice where you become more and more expert. And at the end of this, you will only think of Krishna even while you do other activities. So knowing that you will be inattentive is not a reason to not chant. Because by chanting, that inattention will slowly go, both in your japa and kirtan, as well as in the time when you drive, for instance, or cook, or wash, or there are examples of great devotees, even while they talk, the Hare Krishna mantra is always going on. After some time of chanting as much as possible, day and night, you will be more and more purified and more and more attentive, because the only way to become attentive is really when your heart is purified. Then you will be attentive. Otherwise, if the heart is so full with so many other things, it's not possible, even by some mechanical exercise and method, to be attentive for a good while. Thank you very much. Yes, please.
Oh, this one's dear Bhrishan Prabhu. Usually I pick the dear Satchinandana Maharaj's ones. Thank you very much for your guidance in the japa sessions. It worked perfectly with my mind.
Many, by the way, told me also that your guidance has really helped them.
How to get the same peace of mind during japa at home when there will be no one to help?
No Burijan.
Maybe there are some hopes with my guidance, with your guidance. Well, thank you. Practically speaking, I just say the same thing again and again, right? So when I'm chanting, I often say the same thing. If I can hear one Hare Krishna Ma mantra, I'm so fortunate, beginning with Hare. So those simple things, if you find your mind wandering, you can say those things. But I find, again, the most important thing on the negative side is when you sit down to chant japa or stand up to chant japa, you really have to think, I don't have anything else to do. This is my time to be with Krishna in the form of his holy names. So those same principles, you just apply them. You just say them. You just remember them. I find it's very important to set your mind right before you begin. Before you begin your japa session, say even if you have a half hour or 15 minutes to chant japa or an hour, or if it's going to be 2 hours. Before you begin, you get your mind right and you accept these simple principles that, well, this is a special time that I have nothing to do, and if I do have something to do, I should do that first. But then when I sit down to chant japa, I have to accept this point that I'm not going to do anything else. I have nothing else to do. This is such a personal, private time for me to be with Krishna, just as that one devotee asked first, how to be with Krishna when I can feel separation from Krishna or be with Krishna before I really meet him. Well, it really starts with, I want to be with Krishna now. I don't want to become distracted by the thousand other things that fill my mind continuously. So therefore, generally early in the morning, the devotees will sit down and make that sankalpa. For this time period right now, I only have one thing to do, and that's to be with Krishna in the form of his holy names. So you can just give yourself a little talk like that first. And then say, if I could hear one Hare Krishna Ma mantra. Because what we're trying to do is, because the mind is, and the world is geared to, excuse me, I have a WhatsApp that just came in. It's like that. It's like everything that's intrusive, the information, it fills the ether. It's intrusive. It just distracts us continually. So one has to be quite determined and get our intention and understand what we're going to do. When I sit down, we tend to do things so mechanically without thinking. So I sit down because why am I sitting down to chant japa or standing up to chant japa? Because this is what I do every day. But don't do it in that mood. Think in terms of, this is a very special time. This is a time when I can be with Krishna. So we can take that first step to being with him by getting our mind receptive to the holy names as much as we can. And we're fighting the world, basically, because the world is trying to... The Kali has taken over the world increasingly every moment, putting more information and putting so much fear into the atmosphere. That it's we have to be very determined. So, in a simple way, just set your mind correct to chant, and then just try to hear one Hare Krishna mantra. And when I chant, I try to feel very happy if I can hear one Hare Krishna mantra beginning with Hare. So that's how I deal with this issue. Thank you.
Thank you. Should we share our own japa experience with other devotees? There, in the Hari Bhakti Vilas, there are five things which should a devotee should keep secret.
Let me see if I remember it. Your japa mala, that's why you have a bead back. That's one of the reasons. The other is a practical one, but you keep it secret. Your bhajan, the name of your guru, or your guru, it is not, it is so, your Ishta Devata, the Lord whom you, of your heart. And then a fifth, which I do not recall at this moment. But there's a reason why you keep this secret. You do not want that which is most dear to you and most important to come into the, let me say, into a public forum where so many voices are commenting on it. I want to hear, make a ferocious attack on internet and Facebook faces. See, when you put something in the net, something which is very sacred and holy, people who may not like you will comment on it. These are people you never have anything to do. People who may also not have anything to do with the people which are close to you, nor people who have access even to the devotee community because they are in a bad situation in their own life. But now with the internet, every voice is the same. Whereas in practical life, this is not the case. The same, you value those who are enlightened, who know more, and you do not engage in public life with someone who in the street corner waits to jump on another person and steal his purse. You on the internet, all of these, your enlightened friends and the man on the street corner who waits to make a thievery, have an equal voice. And because it appears there, everyone needs to engage with things they would never engage with, they would never hear with, they would never. These perspectives are so unusual that this doesn't appear in life. But in internet, it is all brought into the life, no? And so on. Of course, there is an advantage of good new information, which helps you to broaden your horizon. But the internet is unfortunately a thing which works in Kali Yuga, where everything is contaminated, places are contaminated, objects are contaminated, and most important for this conversation is minds are contaminated. No, this is unavoidable in Kali Yuga, including one's own mind. So the internet, I have seen, is a good way to increase and aggravate and build up the negativity. This is what happens. As they say in the media, bad news are good news. They sell because they somehow get to the core of the emotions, fear and everything. And so if you want to have an easy life, fast from internet or fast from the daily news, they're Kali Yuga contaminated often, very often, unless you're careful and you know how to navigate your way through this social media. And I think there should be soon books out because there's such a problem. Has become this negativity which is spread like virtual stool and so on. We only had it on the newspapers. Now it's in the virtual space. That is a very important. So that is the reason why we don't share what is most dear to us. It is said by Sanatana Goswami, Well, I don't make this quote because it might be used in the internet against the actual intent of the quote. So this is how careful you have to be nowadays. What I want to say, keep things which are secret and private for yourself. At the same time, by all means, talk about positive experiences in Krishna consciousness. But you just don't go to the core of the very private and very wonderful things. It's something which is not that is not shared. It is said, when the lamp of light, the lamp of love, is taken out of the heart and placed outside of the protected area, the winds will extinguish it. What are these winds? Public opinion and irresponsible talk and comments and so on. So, in answer, your realization during the japa, what was it? Should we share our japa experience with other devotees? Those deep, personal, private ones best share only with your devotee friends, but in general share about that which is more general to the world. They need good information. Thank you very much. I hope this was not so discouraging for the social media fans amongst us. Hare Krishna.
It's a dear Maharaj question.
Yeah, but you are the next one.
Okay. I'm very grateful, this is to both of us, for your high quality association. And want to know, after so many years serving the devotees, if you have different realizations or is the same but in a different or deeper level, and which was the realization of this year? Well, that's a very personal question. What? Oh, yes. But don't tell anyone. Especially don't put it on your Facebook page, that I have to surrender more. I'm going to really try to surrender more and perhaps even take more shelter of the holy names.
You are very courageous. Can someone please give me a computer? I want to put this on the internet. The leader of the International Japa Retreat just confessed to his own inability to keep up his preaching. Here is his direct quote. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. It is something else, he said. He was a humble devotee. Shares his deep realizations of his longing for Krishna. That's what he said. But I have written something which is not what he said. It's only apparently. Anyways, you see, I'm not a fan of internet. I may act too strongly sometimes. Hare Krishna. I think you have covered the subject. Thank you for your... wow. How can one focus on the holy name in kirtan, especially when the instruments are too loud? Do we at that time listen to the kirtan leader intensely or focus on one's own sound vibration? There are two answers. A brief one is, it's very important for those who play instruments to first of all learn how to play in tact and learn also when is the time for soft playing and when is the time for loud playing. It is an art. It is every instrument is an art. But now the other side. That was for
for the others. Now let's come to you. My dear devotee, whoever has asked this question, I would like to tell you a little story. There was once a person who wanted to go and concentrate intensely on his spiritual life. One of his practices was chanting. So he went to a forest and tried to concentrate. But there were so many birds in the forest making noise that he heard always the birds, and he thought, I can't concentrate. So he went higher up the mountains in the areas where no birds were. At that time, as he was finding a cave, he heard the wind. He heard a nearby stream very loud, gushing. So he went into the stream and said, is there no peaceful place? And he took stones out of the stream to deepen the riverbed so that the stream would be less noisy. But after some time he gave up because it remained loud. So he went even higher up and he found on the mountain a cave, but there was a howling wind up there and it was too loud for him. Then he went down again and he began to chant, but a fly landed on his cheek, and he became so irritated that he took the knife, which was meant for doing potatoes. I mean, the kitchen knife, and he just in the attempt to hit the fly, killed himself. It was here. My dear devotee, outside distractions are unavoidable, and you have to somehow learn to minimize them, but there are things which you can't minimize. You have to learn to tolerate and to go inside. So your own solution, which you suggest, should one listen to the kirtan leader, and or should one focus on one's own sound vibration, that works good. Have you ever noticed you sit down and do japa, and then the neighbor next to you, he falls asleep, and then he catches himself and goes, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare 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 Hare. How will I concentrate with this amazing sound next to me, you know? And then you move somewhere else in the hall. But there is someone, someone, you know, picking up his phone and answering a phone call so on. Try as much as is reasonable to find yourself a good distraction-free place, but then you need to surrender to chanting. I know what I'm talking about because I'm trying to chant in the months of Kartik some extra rounds, and sometimes everything is peaceful. But then, vroom, and a loudspeaker is put up in my neighbor, but the loudspeaker really points directly into my ear, and I know. No problem. Let's go on and chant. Because what can you do? You can't do criminal activities and in Braj, like destroying other loudspeakers. Although I heard there is now a machine offered on the saintly internet, this is too far. This goes too far. I'm not interested. So, reasonably try to minimize distractions. If you can't, see it that you have to learn to absorb yourself. Because when you are absorbed, you can the distractions don't
don't disturb you any longer. The Bhagavatam gives an example of an arrow maker who was so absorbed in making his arrow that although the whole retinue of a king passed with musicians, ministers, soldiers, and everything, due to the power of his absorption, he didn't even notice. So that is what you must work on while you are trying to correct those who play too loud the instruments, or maybe it's the role of others to do that, or while you try to focus even when it's too loud. Absorption. You cannot run away from a subjective reaction to a distraction. And the subjective reaction is you must learn to absorb yourself more. But do the other things also. But there's only so much we can do reasonable. Let us not end up like that person who went to the mountain and at the end killed himself because he did not learn the lesson that he needs to absorb himself. Hare Krishna.
I thought, while you were speaking, I thought of two other realizations I had this year. One was that Giriraj is tolerant, so tolerant and so sweet. Year after year after year after year, he's so welcoming and he's so kind. Yes. And we go and then we come back and he's still here. That was one realization. And another one is that yesterday I had some Mahaprasadam from Krishna and Balaram, and it was so good. That was the other realization. Oh, it's for you again. Can I read it and you can answer it? When one is in a receptive mood in chanting, can we also beg for his mercy, or just chant with affection and take whatever Krishna gives? Please clarify.
When one is in a receptive mood and chanting, can we also beg for his mercy, for Krishna's mercy, no? Yeah. Or just chant with affection and take whatever Krishna gives? I think spiritual answers need to keep many aspects need to be aware of many aspects. Yes, there's when you chant there and you feel you're not really there, or you can't enter, you should beg for Krishna's mercy. This is what Haridas Thakur says. He says, I cannot gain victory over my restless mind alone. Only you, Krishna, you are Rishikesha, the controller of the senses, which includes the mind. You can attain this victory, so please help. Therefore, I need to beg for your mercy. That's one thing. And the other is take it, whatever Krishna gives. It's contradictory on one level, but see, in spiritual life there are so many levels, so that one thing cannot be true on one level, but on another level it is necessary, it is true, it must be done. So these two, beg for mercy because you are not satisfied where you are, at the same time be accepting. This also is an instruction given by Rupa Goswami in the Nectar of Instruction. Be enthusiastic, but be also patient. The result may take some time to manifest. Two apparently opposite statements. I have really seen this. I just want to throw it in without explanation in the crowd. You need paradoxical statements to approach the reality which is beyond the scope of your mind and senses. Hare Krishna.
I wanted to add something to that one. That was, I thought, very, just more or less a comment on what you said, is that we can't make it into a mechanical process, a simple, first I do this, and you know, then we pull out our little guidebook. So now it's time to feel, accept everything that Krishna gives. And okay, what do I do after doing that for 7 minutes? Then I take the next part. It's not mechanical at all. It's Krishna's reciprocating, and if one has a desire to be with Krishna in the form of his holy name, all these different moods and sentiments, they will come like waves, one after the next, and one has to respond to them in a very, I would say, human way, not in a mechanical way. And I see this in the description. I think it's in the third or the fourth chapter of the seventh canto when Srila Sukadev Goswami describes Prahlad Maharaj and the depth of his Krishna consciousness. And sometimes he's laughing when Krishna comes in front of him. And sometimes Krishna playfully disappears, and then he starts crying. Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? This is described in the Srila Prabhupada's purports. And then when Krishna comes back again, he jumps up in happiness. And then Krishna disappears and he falls down to the ground. So how could the happiness and how could the unhappiness, even on the transcendental platform, be existing at the same time? When are you supposed to be happy? When are you supposed to fall to the ground? When are tears supposed to come from your eyes? This is Krishna dealing with a pure soul. A pure soul. And one thing interesting about the pastimes of Prahlad Maharaj, this is the first introduction in the seventh canto that you get to Prahlad Maharaj. You hear first, before you actually see him do anything or interact with Hiranyakashipu, his father, or with his school friends, or even Lord Nrisimhadev, the first thing one does is get a hint of what Prahlad Maharaj's internal spiritual life is like. And then, if you wish to understand deeply why Prahlad acts like he does towards his father, why he acts like he does towards his school friends, etc., why he's so fearless, one has to understand that this is what's going on with him continuously, eternally, internally. And then you can understand why his prayers are the way he is. Why when his father says, "Why? Who's doing it? Where are you getting your strength from? Where I'm going to kill you?" And you know, he says, he's very peaceful because he's continuously in relationship with Krishna in a loving way. And Hiranyakashipu, oh, it's getting into a Bhagavatam class, sorry. Next question. Why enthusiasm in spiritual life sometimes diminishes and becomes challenging? For example, the question comes into my mind, do I really want spiritual life? Now, this is the question of a devotee who is coming alive in spiritual life. Why does our enthusiasm diminish? Well, why does it diminish? This is a very good question to ask oneself. Why is my enthusiasm diminishing? Why do I feel that so distant from Krishna and the spiritual truths? So why is that? Did you ever ask yourself that question? Or do I really want spiritual life? And the answer that usually will come is, sometimes I really do want spiritual life, but sometimes I also want ice cream. And sometimes I want to speak of pizza, and what to speak of the newest iPhone. What number is it up to? X, there's an X in there. iPhone X. Raise your hand if you have your iPhone. No one would admit it now if they have one now. But we, our desires are so mixed, and our modes of material nature are so mixed. Sometimes in a day we're in the mode of goodness, and sometimes we're in the mode of ignorance. And sometimes you can't sit still, and the mode of passion comes. So the modes of material nature are always fighting each other, and push, and our mind becomes filled with so many desires. So it's so difficult to be steady unless one is actually steady, means predominantly in sattva-gun, and predominantly, well, almost on the, practically speaking, on the platform of nishtha, or steadiness in Krishna consciousness. So, but that question, I find, do I really want spiritual life, is a question that should be continuously asked. One should ask oneself, do I really want spiritual life? And sometimes we answer yes. Yes, I really want it. I don't want anything else. I just want to learn to love Krishna. And then I imagine when Krishna hears that answer, that he says, really? Let's see. And the mind will take the shape of some form that's attractive. And then one becomes humiliated again and again. And when I say attractive, we, you know, there's so many things depending upon the modes and our sanskaras that attract us in this world. Gross ones, subtle ones. Do I want to be known as a great devotee? Do I want to be known as a good speaker? Do I want to be known as this? Do I want people to think how, that I'm a wonderful, so many different things, subtle things. What do I really want in spiritual life? And Mahaprabhu teaches us, nadanam najanam nasundarim kavitam va jagadisha kamani. I don't want anything other to be, to serve you. If we can actually answer that question continuously, this is all I want. Or even, I have so many desires on a superficial level, but I don't really want those fulfilled. Please don't. I want to serve you. I want to serve you. I want to serve you. So I don't think it's not negative to have these thoughts. I think it's positive. Like as I said, you're coming to life in spiritual life, to coming to confront the mixed reality of my sincerity. And then when that's confronted, then the true need, then humility can enter the heart when we see our insincerity. And then when humility can enter the heart, then sincere prayer and dependence enters the heart, can enter the heart when we turn to Krishna. That's how I would answer.
Hare Krishna. We have 20 more minutes to go. You mentioned that one should not be aware of the ecstatic symptoms. So based on this, I have two questions. I have heard that if one does not feel like crying, one should cry for that. So in this case, one is aware of his or her crying. Second, ecstatic symptoms are only experienced sometimes in my case. What can be this? Please help. My dear devotee, whoever wrote this, I have to honestly confess I do not get it. Because I do not also remember that I said one should not be aware of the ecstatic symptoms. Maybe I talked about ecstatic symptoms, but at that time, Brother Sleep came from the behind and you heard something. That at least I do this mistake often. I I take notes, and then I'm a little tired, and then zoop, I take a note, and then later I find the note, and I said, this was not... Then I said, oh, what an interesting new point. And I go to the lecture giver, and he did not give that. I've seen this a few times. But it may be something else. Please allow me to just... I wouldn't be able to give a satisfying answer on this question because I don't fully understand. So I will go for another one. What are the symptoms of good japa? This is answered by a disciple of the famous Guru Gopal Goswami, who says that first the holy name should enter really the mind. If the holy name is really there in the mind and you get infused with it, it's almost like the holy name. You could compare, just to say how to bring this concept to you. It comes like a, let us say, like a tea bag, which is brought into crystal clear water and then infuses the clear water, and it becomes greenish because of the herbs which are in the tea bag. At that time, the flavor, the outside flavor, which was before not in the water, begins to pervade the entire water. So this is what happens when you really hear the chanting of the holy name. This the holy name will infuse your mind, and it will color your mind, and it will pervade your mind so that you are totally absorbed. That's one symptom of good japa, the way this is described by Dhyanchandra Goswami. The second symptom of good japa, this is goes a little bit further, is that your mind is going to the core of the Hare Krishna mantra. Who is in the core of the Hare Krishna mantra, in the essence? Radha and Krishna, some of you said. Yes. So while you chant, the holy name does not only infuse your mind or pervade your mind so that it, the holy name is more than a name. Sometimes devotees catch themselves when they give japa courses. They say, listen to each word of the mantra. But it's not a word. It's a name. Word is something else. It's listen to each Radha and Krishna of the mantra. So on a higher level, your thought will be with Radha and Krishna. And that is what Rupa Goswami says. He says we should mix our chanting. There should be the name, but then there must be also the form of Krishna. It's almost like in this world, if I address someone, let me say, give a good name, a name of someone else. Yes, Anandavardhan. Anandavardhan, this name just came to me, is because I looked for a name and I started with the alphabet A, and I remembered the name, and immediately I said the name. I remembered this wonderful devotee. He lives near to Berlin. He has a family. He does a lot of service. And I saw his smiling face. I remembered that he thinks about losing weight. That's a big concern for him because, yes, the clothes don't fit always very nicely any longer. So many things come to mind as I innocently just went through an alphabetic list of names, and I landed with the first one, Nanda Vardhan, and immediately an image came to mind. So this is the second symptom of good japa, that as you chant Radha and Krishna's name, you are immediately aware of Radha and Krishna. Therefore, this is the sublime and most wonderful process of bhakti, because it brings you immediately to Radha and Krishna. But you must chant good japa. For good japa, again, two symptoms. First is the name. You must allow that the name pervades your consciousness, is everywhere in your consciousness. And second of all, you should see that the consciousness or mind goes to the to Radha and Krishna, be in the divine presence. That is defined by this great devotee in our Chaitanya line as the symptoms of good japa. Having said this, I have to ask Bhujan Prabhu. Bhujan Prabhu,
would you allow me to just go?
Yes, yes.
I just come back.
Okay, but before you come back, you have to go.
Yes.
Okay.
So
please,
water.
Yeah, we will miss you.
Oh.
I'll answer a question. It's in a language I can't understand, unfortunately. Maybe not. I don't know, because I can't understand it. Here, can you understand? Why don't you take a look and see if you can understand it? How can I learn to see Krishna's kindness in difficult situations and tragedy?
Can't even read it.
Yeah. Now, how am I going to see Krishna's mercy in this? Krishna's kindness when the wedding band is going by? I could think it could be worse. Could be two wedding bands going by. Three. Or could be louder. Or they could be playing rap music. But one thing that I've seen, and this is perhaps an obvious point, is that you can make an intellectual plan and an intellectual adjustment. Now I have to see Krishna's kindness in the fact that the band is here and loud, intellectual, and just something on a intellectual level, which isn't on the deepest level of the consciousness. And when you make an intellectual adjustment to see Krishna's mercy in everything, then it works when the everything isn't difficult, really. If the difficulty is on the surface. But when things really get difficult, what to speak of the ultimate difficulty, which is death, then all the intellectual adjustments and then you really see the depth, how deeply you've surrendered to Krishna in a difficult circumstance. So that's one thing one can understand, is that when there's a difficult circumstance and one turns away from Krishna, that's Krishna's mercy, in that he's showing me that my depth of surrender and having dependence on Krishna is superficial. It's not on to the core of my heart. My surrender isn't complete. My taking shelter of Krishna isn't complete. So that shows me that I have a lot to do with the remaining time in my life, and I should be... That's quite a burst mode you have there. So that is easily to understand. It's interesting that because I've studied so much about education, I learned that assessments, what we usually call examinations or tests, they were originally meant for the student to assess how well he's assimilated the information. that the teacher has tried to give him, or the understandings that the teacher has given him. And it was really a self-assessment. And also, the examinations were originally thought of assessments for the teacher to assess his teaching methodologies, to see how well his teaching was, when whether the students have learned what he was attempting to teach them. So rather than just trying to become first in class, second in class, or something like that, or this score or that score, but it was really for self-examination. So that's one good way to look at difficult situation and even tragedy. Am I turning to Krishna? Am I turning to Krishna? And I'm certainly going to need to turn to Krishna when the ultimate difficulty attacks my life, which it certainly is going to. So Krishna is kind that he's holding up the mirror and letting me see my actual situation. That's how I look at it mostly. And then that often leads to humility. And again, how much I'm going to need Krishna's help. But another aspect of it is that even talking at about especially the moment of death, but at any time, that Krishna so often rescues us, and it will happen at the time of death, even if we don't remember Krishna. But he sees all the sincerity of our attempts in our life, our attempts that we've tried to serve him. So he's there. So he's there, even though our consciousness may not have been on the level that we would have hoped to have been. So his kindness will come in that way as well, even if we don't raise ourselves to the highest position in difficult circumstances. Krishna's mercy is still there. I think that's how I would answer that at this point. And I can pick another one. Does the power of the holy name increase if we chant loudly, and to what extent? And the second is, loudly chanting the same as kirtan? So the first one is, does it increase if we chant loudly? So it's not obviously, Krishna is his name. Whether we chant loudly or we chant softly, it's Krishna. So what increases, and we can't even say that it increases the power of Krishna's holy name if we have love for Krishna, because Krishna's holy name is always Krishna. But if we have love for Krishna, Krishna manifests himself more. So it's not the loudness that increases the potency of Krishna's holy name, it's our love for Krishna. But we can't even really say that it's the love for Krishna that increases, it's that Krishna manifests himself the more we have loving attachment to him. And second is loud chanting the same as kirtan. So I've heard it, silent chanting one day or chanting, which we are chanting for ourselves, we call that japa. And then when we chant aloud and sing aloud, we can call that kirtan. And when we chant all together congregationally, we call that sankirtan. So I've heard it defined in that way, but in a general definition, we call kirtan more or less the same as sankirtan, the congregational chanting of the holy name. But kirtan, is there any Sanskrit scholars here? It means to glorify Krishna. So even speaking about Krishna's glories is also called kirtan. Not only just the singing. But sankirtan usually specifically refers to the congregational singing of Krishna's glories. And for us in Srila Prabhupada's movement, we generally refer to that as the singing of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra congregationally and melodiously. Yes, we answered two questions while you were away, and one of them was in Russian.
Krishna, Krishna. After making some austerity, the mind becomes tired and next day does not let us do any austerity. Is this the sign of a wrong austerity? Usually austerity sounds for me like being equal to pain for the mind. Is this a wrong conception? I know exactly what you're speaking about. yes. It's so nice to hear such different type of question. Yes, if you push your mind too long, too hard, it becomes tired because it doesn't have yet the resilience and the inner mental strength to deal with this. So therefore, those who do austerities have to choose an appropriate austerity. Appropriate means an austerity which they are capable of doing at their present state. If someone does an austerity which is too heavy for them at the present state, the result will be the opposite. It will not be purifying his heart, such an austerity, but he will tire himself and may even develop a rebellion against surrendering to Krishna. So Krishna speaks about this in the 11th canto to Uddhava. He says, you must act according to your present adhikar, that is your capabilities when you want to do bhakti. Be careful with too much austerity, it might break you. And be careful with too less austerity, not enough austerity. You might never leave your present zone where you are, your present state. It must be appropriate to your capability, and then it's good. Otherwise, it's wrong. So if you say austerity sounds for me like being equal to pain for the mind, is this a wrong conception? Well, not necessarily. There is a little pain, it's a little difficult always, or a little uncomfortable. That's the word, uncomfortable, when you leave your present comfort zone. But you grow, you only grow when you do this. But if you do too much of a jump out of your comfort zone, if you try to go too fast, too high, too in a place which you're not capable, then it is wrong. So a little pain is necessary, because otherwise you don't grow. I think in yoga asana, because you're tired, I want to give you a visual example of this. In a yoga asana, where it's very clear. Yoga is an ancient science, and let me give you an example of a simple forward bend. If this is my present capability to come up to here, I show you. No need to make a photo, please, and then send it, and then it's all over the... No need. No need, absolutely no need. So you go up till here. If that is your capability, then you will grow and have a benefit if you go a little deeper like this. Oh, it's a little painful. If you try to bend yourself too much down, you might break your back. This is an analogy. In life, you have to go a little beyond your present comfort zone. But if you go too much at once, then you will break yourself and there is an adverse effect. Do you understand? With a simple example, I think it is very easy to understand. So yes, yesterday, Burijan Prabhu and myself, we did something, we tried to push you a little bit. And it was clear during the noon period, what was it, 11 o'clock to 3 o'clock. Some of you were severely challenged. and because you were asked to do maybe something which is too much at once, 64 rounds, and you're happy if you can chant 16 rounds without getting bored. So 64. I spoke with one devotee. He said, I asked him how was it going, and he said, very easy, but the last time I did this, it was so very difficult, but this time it was easy. It was easy going through, because the devotee had built up some more muscles in the between the last time and the present time. It was easier for him. So it's good if you sometimes go really out of your comfort zone, but if you would do that too often, you would begin to maybe hate the chanting. I have seen devotees of our movement who have tried to do too many austerities, and later they became atheists. I have seen scholars, even very intelligent devotees, who have then given up everything. So it's appropriate, and for when you don't know what is appropriate for me, that's where spiritual guidance of senior devotees or more experienced devotees is very good. Yes, this is... thank you very much. Burijan Prabhu,
yes.
It's now the time for the surprise to happen.
I can answer this last question so simply.
Good, and please do so. Okay. Do this.
What should be our mood? And it's a really good way to end. What should be our mood whilst rendering service to Vaishnavas, seniors as well as juniors? Once I asked Srila Prabhupada a question. I asked him, there was a sannyasi who had left ISKCON and sort of went out on his own to preach. And I had a relationship with him, a friendship with him, and I had... So I asked Prabhupada, how should I treat him now? Which is similar. And Prabhupada said, with respect. A Vaishnava treats everyone with respect, even an ant. That was my answer.
Thank you. Thank you very, very much. Now we will have the... surprise at a theater play. We need some help to take all these down from the stage. It will be put back on the stage, so we can just put it before. Just the front. Yes, just the front is good. But thank you very much for asking these wonderful,
very,
very
deep
good
questions.
Yeah,
very
yeah.
deep questions.
Yeah. Hare Krishna.